Blog Talk Radio.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm Susie Ellison, your host, and I believe that all our gifts and talents are given to us by God, our Creator. James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down to us from God, our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He is the original artist. He mixed all the colors and hues that clothe, stain, and decorate every living thing and every form of nature, from the butterflies and the animals to the flowers and the trees. God painted the jeweled hues into the sunrises and the sunsets. God stained the wings of the bluebirds and the cardinals. God holds the blueprints for every person, place, and thing in the universe. And it's amazing that he would choose to share a part of his creative ability with human beings. Music, art, architecture, writing are all his gifts to us, along with many other gifts and talents that bless and fill this earth. Not only does he bestow those creative abilities upon us, he fills our hearts and souls with the emotional capacity to be moved, stirred, and stimulated by those creative works. My guest this evening has received a very incredible gift from God. She's an artist who manages to capture emotion and color on her canvases that are totally unique and very moving. She's going to share her life and her faith in Jesus Christ tonight, and she will tell us about her gift, what it means to her, and how it's making this world a more beautiful and comforting place. It's my pleasure to welcome Connie Lampen to our program tonight. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Sissy.
Connie,
how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Connie, you've certainly received a very unique and wonderful gift from God, and I believe our future God-given purpose, our gifts and talents, and our callings are often revealed at an early age. Why don't we begin tonight with your early beginnings? Will you share with us some glimpses of your early childhood?
Yes, I'd love to. I would really love to. I first want to say thank you to you, and it is a pleasure sharing this evening with you and your listeners. I was raised in a very tiny town, about 60 miles east of St. Louis in southern Illinois, and the name of the town is Bartelso. The population remains today as it was then, 300 people.
Wow.
So being a... Yes. Being in such a tiny town, everyone knew everyone. And my childhood was not unlike probably many of the listeners' childhood at that time. We didn't have the technology. So I think my memories go back to making mud pies and putting dandelions on them. And I love doing that and playing with my, I have two sisters and one brother. Yes. And the other thing that I really remember in my childhood as far as fun, just really, really fun in nature, because I've always loved trees, and I'll talk about how I've grown to love them and put them into paintings later, but lightning bugs or
yes.
something else, living out. We lived a mile out of town, and I think back now, a mayonnaise jar was really a great thing. You know, we grabbed a mayonnaise jar, and we ran out the back door. And my memories of my childhood are just that, because the sky, I could see stars, whereas now, you know, we have so many buildings around us.
Right.
And my mother and father were really good. We had a really, really good childhood, all of us. And so I really can say when I look back as a child, it's all fond, good memories.
That's
very
wonderful.
Simple life. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And you've described kind of how I grew up, too. I grew up in the country, although a slightly larger town than yours. I can't believe it's your population is still at about 300. That's amazing.
It is.
The lightning bugs, I can remember the mason jars and poking holes in a lid so we could keep them alive in the jar. And it's just wonderful memories, isn't it?
Yes, very good memories of
yes.
Sometimes we take for granted the sky, you know,
yes.
and the stars that are up there. But I value my childhood. I'm very glad I had the childhood that I had. I have very few emotional bad things to say about it. I had good parents.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, you know, Connie, often children who are to become gifted artists have a love and a sharp eye for shapes, sounds, colors, and textures. Did you have a keen sense of these when you were a child, and did you like to paint or draw even then?
Well, as a small child, even like in the first grade, naturally, crayons were the thing. We do that today with children. And I remember the first thing I drew was a cat, and then I drew a pig. And the thing that really threw me as a very young child was the fact that no one told me I couldn't erase a crayon. So I really messed up, and I thought, well, it's okay, you know. And going into, I didn't really color that other than just as a normal kid. But going into high school, my father decided that he wanted me to play a saxophone. And I did for about a year. And then I went to school not in the small town of Bortel. So I took a bus and went to another town about 15 miles away, Carlisle. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of a funny story, but I decided after a year I just could not play that saxophone. It just bothered me. And the thing that it was really funny. But it wasn't funny at the time, because what I did, I knew I couldn't stop playing it because my father would get very mad. So I hid it under my bed. And I knew the day that my mother and father found the saxophone, because I was greeted by my father. And we were raised very strict, and I'm very glad for that. I really am very disciplined. But the minute I saw him, I knew. I thought, oh, my God, he's going to kill me. But he didn't. He just grabbed me up. We went to the pawn shop, got rid of the saxophone. And on the way home, I remember his finger in my face, and he said, Connie, you will be creative. Yeah, how am I going to be creative? You know, okay. That Christmas, my Aunt Sally walked in with a big box, and in the box she had china plates, and she had painted flowers on the plates. Mm-hmm. She handed my mother one, and it was a plate with daffodils on it. I wish I had it today. And that minute, that split second, I looked at my Aunt Sally and I said, I want to do that. And I turned to my father and I talked him into buying me a small, we went, I guess, to a store, I'm sure. But I remember the set that he bought. Mm-hmm. And the minute I put a paintbrush in my hand, I connected. Just
oh,
like
wonderful.
That. It wasn't something, you know, that I had studied. I just felt comfortable.
Right.
So that's how I got started.
It was just a gift, that you're describing, a God-given gift. What were some of the things that you liked to paint or draw? Where did you go from there in your painting or drawing?
Well, being in the small town and then going to school in another small town, we didn't have art as you have today. So the subjects that I picked were what I had around me, landscapes and trees. So I painted everything. And bless their hearts, every aunt and uncle had a picture on their wall. And I just started painting.
That's awesome.
Just with my thoughts. You know, I would sit down. Like I said, the first time I put that paintbrush in my hand, I just connected. It felt so comfortable. So that's how I got started.
That's your gift. Well, did you attend church as a child with your family? How important was faith in your home?
Well, yes and no. And I'm sure maybe some of your listeners might understand this. My mother was of one faith and my father was of another. Mm-hmm. And in a small town, everybody knows your business, and our town was primarily Catholic. My mother mm-hmm. was Catholic. So I was used to seeing the very pretty churches, etc. And I just always had a desire to love God. Even if there were arguments, and which there were, I knew he created me. And he just placed this desire, and I think I knew it really when I go back to thinking of the lightning bugs. I remember running outside, and whether it was sunny or whether there were stars out, I'd look up and I always knew. You know, you just know. And I just loved God. I didn't question my love for God. So church was important, but I just had something else inside me that I knew was there, but I didn't know what it was, you know.
Well, you know, I think we're all born with a God-shaped spot in our heart, and we're all born with a hunger to know our Creator, and it can be nurtured or lost along the way or contaminated or hurt in some way, but I think we're all born with an awareness of our mm-hmm. Creator. You shared with me your early experience of seeing a marble statue of Jesus in your church. There are some very beautiful, beautiful statues and things in Catholic churches. What did you notice most about the statue, and how did that affect you as a young child?
Well, as I said, my mother was a Catholic, my father wasn't, so there were disagreements. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I did, even though I had a lot of fun, I was very shy. I was just a little skinny, real shy girl. And I found myself, because I felt clumsy in the church. I loved God, but I still felt clumsy. But I found that I went to the side door of the church, and on this one side, there was a big marble statue of Christ, and I found my way to him so many times because I took a bus. Mm-hmm. I rode 15 miles on a bus back to my home, so sometimes we'd have to wait, and in lieu of that, a lot of times I just would find myself going in that side door. What I found about this statue were his eyes.
Yes.
Out of all the beautiful things in that church, his eyes were so tender and loving. And he had an outstretched hand, and it had the marks of his crucifixion, the scar. Believe it or not, today I can close my eyes and I see that statue. And what I really remember about that as a grown individual and as a little girl, because we do retain memories.
Yes,
I was attracted to the eyes. And the only thing I saw that radiated through that statue was love.
Mm-hmm.
I felt something from that statue, and I knew it was marble, but I knew there was something more. But I didn't know what it was at that time, you know, when I was little.
Yeah.
Little bit. Mm-hmm. That statue meant a lot to me. It really did. In my memories, and as I went through life, because, like I said, the foundation of religion and God, I was clumsy in church. That's all I can really, really remember is that.
So when you looked into the eyes of that statue, you saw some form of acceptance. And I think every artist that has ever painted Jesus or chosen to paint Jesus painted such tender eyes and such a loving face. And I think that's probably what inspired those artists to paint Christ because they felt the love and tenderness and they wanted to get it on canvas or in a statue. And, you know, I think many children have gazed at the stained glass windows, the statues of Jesus and Mary, and have been moved and awed in their hearts by those sights. I remember as a child staring at the very beautiful old stained glass windows in my church and feeling they just shed a holy and unique light into the church during the daytime. But, you know, we don't see a lot of that magnificent architecture and stained glass windows in the modern churches of today. You almost have to visit very old churches to view those magnificent sights, and I, for one, miss those sights. Why do you think that the inspiration and motivation to include those works in our modern churches is absent, Connie?
That's a very interesting question, and in my opinion, I think as we've progressed as a society, we've gone towards a somewhat casual way of worshiping. I believe we're still worshiping with our hearts, but I believe for many this is good because this portrays a relaxed atmosphere. To men don't have to wear a tie, don't have to wear a suit. It has just gotten a lot more relaxed. Mm-hmm. And that might fit for some and not fit for others. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad, and I've said it before about my upbringing and my childhood, I'm so glad that even though I was confused, that I was introduced to Christ or God first through the beauty of a church.
Right.
And I really think, true, that we have changed. And that society has a different influence now on the beauty. Craftsmen aren't like they were in the past. There's few that work with their hands with stained glass and the beautiful architecture. Cost of building is higher, pardon me. There is one thing. The Holy Spirit remains the same.
Yes.
And that inspiration and motivation, that really is internal in the person. And that I think we can see beauty in many different ways through time. Yes, the time when architecture was so beautiful and the stained glass was gorgeous, there were masters that did that. And I'm very blessed to have been in European churches and also some of the beautiful churches here in the United States. I really, at times, because of my childhood, I miss the beautiful stained glass, and I miss the altar, like you have said. But I think that we live in a different time, and I think it's just...
Well, technology has changed a lot, and, you know, you have to spend time making those things. Like you said, they were masters, and they had different tools. They had different ways of doing those things. I think of Michelangelo and how he painted the ceiling of that chapel, and I can't even imagine what that must have been like. Can you, as an artist, imagine the posture he had had to take on and the discomfort sometimes for him? It's just one of the most beautiful sights in the world, isn't it? But I don't know for the life of me how he did it.
I have read his, Agony and Ecstasy,
Yeah.
I've read the book, his biography about what his life was like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he painted, he sculpted. He lived a life that was very rough on his emotions and rough on his physical body. And, you know, the paintings that he did were just magnificent.
Yes, they were.
Oh, and, you know, I think of the masters of what it would be like to walk with them. Just walk in a field and you know, take a brush and a canvas and sit down next to them. You know, but that is the feeling that a person gets, or I would get, in my opinion, of walking into seeing his work or into some of the most gorgeous chapels and churches in Europe. I've spent time looking at many, many, many beautiful churches. And that was the way it was. That was through our times, churches were built, and that was a big deal to have a church built. And
right.
The way it was, there was so much authority given to the masters. Mm-hmm. They came in, and it was up to them to really paint. And today, we're not like that. It's kind of like, how many kids do you see run out with a mayonnaise jar now? Nobody.
You don't. And you know what? I think we're describing a loss of a very important element to painting and the play, the kind of play we used to do. We've lost patience. We're not quiet, and the world is so fast and so full of technology and so instantaneous. Everything you want is at your fingertips now almost. And I think what those people possessed back then was the patience to sit and drink in those sights that they painted. Or, you know, they didn't have things to distract them, so they felt very, very intense emotion like loneliness. I've read where many artists were very, very, very lonely and had very, very bad bouts with depression and different things. But what they did was to paint their emotions and their feelings into their artistry, and composers were able to work those feelings into their emotions. And I think today we move so fast and so furious, and we don't have the patience that those people of yesterday had. Do you think that way as well?
Yes, I do. I think it's partially that we don't have the patience, plus I'll go back to the time, our society. How many times does a person get a chance to be quiet unless you make the choice?
Right.
Unless you walk in a house and you don't turn that TV on and you don't turn anything on.
Right.
If, you know, there's a laptop, there's, you know, look at people now. Many people walk in the streets with a cell phone in their hand.
Right.
No one has that quiet time. And,
right.
Well, I won't say no one. I think artists and composers, any person within that arena, it's inside you to be quiet. Because if you're going to create, you have to listen.
Yes, you do.
You cannot. I cannot paint constantly with a TV on or with a... Now, I can have it on, et cetera. But if I am going to really think or really allow myself to think, everything's quiet. And
right.
It took me a while to do that. It
right.
really did, because I was used to being in a workforce around people. So when people say, well, just be quiet, being quiet is like a habit. It's a habit to your mind. You know, if your mind is clicking and you're going and you're doing and you're with people, all of a sudden you stop your lifestyle, it's a little different. It's a little harder to do that. And that's
exactly.
The beauty of retirement. It is. And it's the beauty also of being an artist.
Right.
It is.
So I agree with all of that. I think we've lost, I think really probably our brains and our nervous systems have been rewired somewhat, you know, because of technology and because of the noise in the world and the instant gratification and all that. And I think it really has changed things. So to me, I'm a composer and a writer, and I do different creative things too, but I have to be inspired within my own soul before, and passionate about what I compose or what I write before I can even write it or compose it, or, you know, otherwise it's just, and I think that comes from God as well. We've talked about that God is the giver of the gifts. But Connie, even though you attended church, you shared that you didn't become a Christian until you were in your 30s. And that's the story of many young people who were brought up in the church. It was my story as well. We knew about Jesus but didn't really have a personal relationship until later on in our adult lives. What brought you into a personal relationship with Christ, and what was that like for you?
Well, it was when I was in my 30s. And in my walk in life, I was introduced to people. I moved from Illinois to St. Louis and then into Memphis. And here in Memphis, the Bible, I had a Catholic, you don't have a Bible. And I would step in church here and there. That's what I was doing, just stepping. As I told you, I was clumsy in a church. I knew everything was marble. No one ever talked to me about relationships. And because I always thought, you know, God is way up in that, he's up in that star, as I looked outside when I was a kid. So we relate to everything that we once had, you know. And so anyway, saying that, I was on a retreat, and as I was about to leave, I was there 2 days, I was hollow. I could feel it. I was around all Christians, and I didn't know what button to push. And again, I was clumsy. And out of all of the people there, one person walked up to me and said, the Our Father. God is so good in that I could relate to the Our Father. Mm-hmm. That's a universal prayer, yes. But I could really relate to those words because I heard those when I was a child.
Right.
When I heard those words, I walked on and I got in a car with the ladies that had brought me to, we were in Arkansas, and they were bringing me back to Memphis, and I sat in the back seat. And everything was tremendously quiet. They didn't say a word, no radio, anything. And when I got alone in that back seat of that car, my heart popped. That's the easiest way of saying it. I just had such a yearning, and I thought of the marble statue. I really did. Mm-hmm. And I basically dropped my head, and I said, Lord, I need you. That's all I said. Mm-hmm. And when I raised my head, I had a warmth inside of me.
Yeah.
That I felt something different in me. And the beauty out of that is he meets you right where you are. I didn't have to be in a church. I didn't have to be under a tree. I was right where he knew I would be. Plus, I had to open that door. I had to ask him. And when I did, I said earlier, God gave me such a gift to love him.
Yeah.
Even in all the craziness that I, and it was kind of nutsy when I was a kid. You know, Dad didn't want us to go to church, Mom did. It really was a kind of a tangled mess at times in my head. But anyway, I did come back home. My life really didn't change as far as my job or anything of that nature. But really what changed was inside me.
Right.
I learned to be still and listen. And it didn't happen bam like that. I mean, you know, my eye didn't change in appearance. People said when I went back to work, Connie, you just seem quieter. And I was. And, you know, there's always something to do. There's always something to find to do. We live in a busy, busy world, even when I was in my 30s, definitely. I was busy. But when I met Christ, he took my heart, and that's where he went in. And he gave me a different warmth.
Mm-hmm.
I really started realizing a relationship. And, you know, with anything in life, any person that you meet, if you really want to have a relationship with someone, you've got to communicate. You've got to spend time with them.
Yes.
And that's what I found that really changed me as a person, was the fact that that marble statue, the tradition,
right,
stained glass, the beautiful altar, being a Catholic, et cetera,
yes,
it all, that moment, it all resided inside of me. That's what it
meant.
Isn't
that beautiful? That's so beautiful. And, you know, I think of that scripture. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And
yes,
that's what you're describing. He was knocking, but it's every human being's choice to open that door. He draws us unto him. So he had actually been drawing you all your life, and you knew of him. But it's so precious, because you said something else. Christ meets us where we are, and there you were in that car driving along, and you were destined that day to open that door and invite him in. And it's called being born again. What we thought before isn't what we think when he comes into our lives. It's like a light is lit inside our souls. He sees through our eyes. We begin to see things through his eyes and hear the things he hears. And it's just one of the most glorious experiences that we can ever have, isn't it, Connie?
Oh, my heavens. And, you know, the one thing I will add to that, when you mentioned the door, so many times I would see a picture of Christ and he's standing at the door.
Mm-hmm.
The latch, the doorknob,
yes,
is on our side. We,
yes,
have to open that door.
Exactly.
And that, it is such a personal thing. And when you say born again, yes, you are.
Yes.
A person is so changed. It doesn't mean that your hair color changes or your job changes.
No.
Change
your
in your heart. Your
yes,
heart changes. And that's why they,
exactly,
that's why they say born again, because your,
yes,
heart has a new life.
Yes.
And without your heart, you have nothing.
I just,
you
think,
know,
there's a light that goes on inside. That's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went from darkness into light, and being able to love others and love myself even as I saw that Jesus loved me. It's just a whole different viewpoint, and it's the best relationship I have, and I know you feel the same way. Connie, we're going to pause for a few moments to hear a word from our sponsor about the exciting Within series from gifted author Alexandra Clare. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
The Within series by Alexandra Clare. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow Boston Police Detective Jared Shield as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End, and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Wood. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexandra Clare, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at alexandraclare.com.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome back to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm talking tonight with local artist Connie Lampen. We've just been talking about Jesus, which is my favorite subject, and it sounds like it's hers as well, and how we can go through our lives knowing about Christ and going to church and even knowing scripture, and until we invite him into our lives for a personal relationship and understand that we need him as our Savior, because we're all lost. The Bible says we're all lost. We've all fallen short of the standard that of perfection. We're all sinners, and until we invite him in, we cannot understand or relate to him as wonderfully as we can in a personal relationship with him. Connie, I read that you were self-taught as an artist, and what were some of your first artistic endeavors, and how did your painting progress through your adult years?
Yes, I was self-taught, and the first things that I started doing, and it goes back to childhood again, were trees. And I'm still doing trees, painting trees, rather. I retired in 2003, late 2003, and over the years I've worked with artists. I've done a lot of the different things, Vista Home Show Trolley Tour, painted glasses for the Peabody, Memphis Music Foundation. I've worked with decorators. I've had two exhibits this year, Circuit Playhouse and Playhouse on the Square. Mm-hmm. The highlight, really, though, of everything that I like to do in art is I love to give to others. That's the biggie right now. So that's what I love to do. But mainly what I'm painting are the trees, landscapes. I can paint animals as well.
Yeah, but, I've seen
really
the horses.
Oh, I love a horse.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Thank you. But I really do enjoy painting and giving.
Well,
it's all God's.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, how has your relationship with Christ influenced how and what you paint? Can your faith be viewed in your paintings?
Well, as I mentioned, the trees, and Christ does really paint through me. In the last 2 years, I've really recognized the difference when I hold the brush a lot more. And maybe it's the difference is in my heart. As we grow in relationship with Christ, we grow in different ways. And I can only relate it to those that are listening. If you sit down and you really want to listen to music and you relax and sit back, and your heart starts hearing that music rather than the rattle of all of the stress outside of doing this and doing that in your job. That's what I'm starting to do more with my art, is that I'm letting go. Jesus Christ is the music. I'm
yes.
more prone now as I hold a brush. I've always prayed, you know, but there are different depths of prayer. As we get older, as you get to know Christ more. And I'm letting go more in my work. I can feel it in my hand and heart. And I've had people say, gosh, Connie, I can see peace in your work, or emotion, or there's when I sit and look at your work, it really has peace. And when I got those comments in the last few years, I then started looking at how I was painting.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I would stand back at times, and I have recently, after I'm finished, wow, I didn't mean to do that, but boy, it turned out right. You know, yes, I really do. I really can feel a difference. And I guess...
Well, go ahead.
Well, since I started talking about that, the turning point in my life naturally was Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The turning point in me knowing that paintbrush
mm-hmm.
was supposed to be something, or is something in my life, that he has really given me a gift.
Yes.
I knew it was a gift because I could paint, but I didn't know the reality or the depth until, and this goes back in my life, sometimes God gives you a touch, a glimpse of your purpose, and then years go by, because he's timeless. And
in
October of 83, I had a fire in my home. I lost everything.
Wow.
to be brief, when State Farm and the other people came in to clean it up, everything, it was a kitchen fire. Smoke was throughout the entire house. The only thing I brought out of that house was a Mickey Mouse T-shirt, a pair of tennis shoes, my Bible, and a painting.
Wow.
And the painting is the only thing, other than my Bible, mm-hmm. that was not destroyed at all.
Goodness.
And when I saw that picture, and even the firemen, when they saw it, they went, oh. I have it right outside my kitchen here. Mm-hmm. One day it will go in a church somewhere. I don't know where. It is a portrait of Christ. I painted it in July of that year, lost my house in October, and my father had died in March of the same 83. Big, lot of changes.
Yeah.
And I took that painting off the wall. Behind the painting was untouched. There wasn't any smoke. The painting has never been touched as far as cleaned, not at all. There's a little gray, touch of gray just at the edge of the canvas near the frame.
Mm-hmm.
But that showed
me. That's amazing.
Me, yes, it is. That showed me that with all the furniture and all this and that and everything, that he's in charge.
Yes, he is.
He's totally in charge. And when there are times in my life that I think, oh, you know, we all have them. No matter how much you love Christ,
yes.
you will have some tribulation here. But
yes,
there are times, many times, I'll walk up to that picture and I put my hand on it. And I'm just looking in the eye. And I remember when I painted those eyes, it was quick. And, you know, God can work through anything.
Yes, he
does. I believe that he can work through anything. So that painting showed me, that gave me a taste of today. I knew in my back of my mind that he was going to do some things through my paintbrush.
Right.
And
he says all things work together for the good, and even a fire can have, if you put it in God's hands, I call it making lemonade out of lemons. Whatever mm-hmm. happens to us, no matter how bad or how good, God can bring a lesson out of it, or a gift, or he can reveal even our God-given purpose, and for you to end up with that as the only thing really of value that came out of your house, I think that was a very, very important message to you from the Lord, and what a beautiful thing to have been able to salvage from a fire. My goodness.
Oh, it's, you know, when that happened to me,
mm-hmm.
it's a cold night in October, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, because I am a clothes horse. I really like clothes. I like this. I like that. You know, all this good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started out all over again, and my daughter and I had to rent a small apartment with rented furniture, etc., from that day in 83 until today in 2015, possessions don't own me. I've got nice things. Yes, I've worked hard, da da da. But
yeah.
they don't own me.
Yes.
They just, it, when you lose
everything,
when you think you have lost, and you're standing there and that's all you have is something that God has let you have, whether it's a painting, a pair of shoes, or a baby's picture, or whatever it is. Whatever you have lost
mm-hmm.
at that particular time, you'll realize you have not lost a thing, because God owns it all.
Exactly.
He owns every bit of it. And that fire, honestly, was a blessing.
Well, I can understand you're saying that. It gave you a whole new perspective, and thank God it did, because, you know, a lot of people are so hung up on things that they can't see the beauty of God, of Jesus, of other people, of nature. Losing everything makes you appreciate a little bit. And I can identify because I've been in situations like that, and truly it's made me very grateful, a very grateful human being for everything I have now. And if I don't have everything I'd like to have, it really doesn't bother me because, like you say, once you've lost everything, you see that it didn't take away the most important being on earth, and that's your faith and your relationship with Christ, and that you're still alive and breathing, and that those things really didn't have a great effect on how you ended up after all. So I understand you're saying that. Connie, you've said that your paintings have a healing effect on those who view them. And would you explain that and share the subjects of some of those paintings that heal and why they minister to hurting minds, hearts, and bodies?
Yes. One lady in particular comes to mind. I have a couple, but one stands out. This lady years ago went to church with her. I had a painting in a gallery. After the gallery show was finished, she had just loved this painting. She kept looking at it. So I took it. I gave it to her after church one day. And she was, oh, no, no. And I said, no, take it, please, please. Because she saw something. I love that when I see somebody going, ooh, you know, I see the emotion in it.
Yeah.
So it was gone. I gave it to her. The next day she calls me and she's in tears. Connie, you have to come. I did. Went to her home. I walked inside. And the painting looked great. Guess what it was of? It was a tree, but it was a beautiful background to it and everything, and it was on silk. And I was ready to take it and see if I could, what other things she wanted done. I thought there was something wrong. And she took my hand, and we sat on her couch in front of that painting. Mm-hmm. And she said, you don't understand. She kept crying. And I said, well, honey, if there's something wrong with the painting, I'll take it.
Aww.
No. She said, I came home, I hung it, I sat in front of it, and I was praying. And she said, the reason I'm crying, she said, she had suffered from depression. Nobody knew about it. Her husband had cancer, and she couldn't let go of the grief. And she had bottled herself up so much, and she wouldn't let anyone see her tears. She was active in the church, and she taught. You know, I thought no one knew she was depressed. She came home, and she hid her depression. And when she hugged me, she said, it left. I said, what left? She said, all of my depression. She said, I'm not depressed. Well, that's one story. And the other one, very quickly, is about a couple living in Germantown. I had painted with them before, and at that time I was working through a decorator, and the decorator came and said they want a large, large painting. I love to paint large. And I said, okay, what? Water. I said, okay. He showed me very quickly a fabric swatch of colors that they had, and he was gone with it. And he looked at me and smiled, and he said, well, Connie, I know you. Just go pray. Go pray. And he wasn't kidding. He loves Christ. He said, you just go pray, and God will tell you what to do. And I said, okay. Well, time went by. I had the strongest feeling, don't paint something big. And I had the canvas. I had four other canvases. They were very, very nice. They were all the same size. Put them all against the wall, make one big one. That's what I painted. He called me and weeks later, and he said, have you finished that big painting? And I said, no. And I was about to tell him, and he said, well, they don't want a big one.
Wow.
And I got real quiet. And I thought, well, I don't, you know, not that I don't care. It's just, it's okay. I'll sell it somewhere else. It's God's stuff. You know, I don't care. So anyway, he said, have you done anything? And I said, well, come by and I'll show you what I've done. So he came, he saw, we jumped in the car, went to their house. I sat in her kitchen. I had tea with her. The husband and the decorator hung the paintings. They came in the kitchen, and all of them looked at me and smiled and said, how did you know? I hear that a lot. I said, what do you mean, how did I know? They said, well, you were supposed to paint a big one, a very big painting. And I said, well, and I kind of smiled, and I said, God told me not to. He told me to paint this. And I was telling the truth, because God talks to your heart. That's where he lives, you know? So they said, well, come here. So I walked in a room I had never seen. And I'm serious. Like the other lady, my knees kind of buckled when the lady told me she didn't have depression. I buckled here. I had to sit down. I sat down, and I felt the peace.
Wow.
I really did. And I
my
said,
goodness.
My goodness, they fit. And he said, yeah. And they did. They looked great in that room. And I said, but there's more to this story. I said, weren't you going to have a big room? They said, yeah, you didn't know. And I said, no, I just, what's going on? Her husband, right after they had asked me to paint, was diagnosed with cancer. They had to change the building of the redecorating. So they went to a lot smaller room where they were going to have a big wall. They changed it to put more windows in. And he was recuperating, if such, going through chemo, etc. And that room became a room for him to go in and just sit and read and get some peace. And that couple, both of them, hugged me so hard. They said, we have no idea how you knew. And to tell you that without experiencing it, it truly was a way in which I saw there was a healing of cancer in a way that brought peace. It might not have healed the cancer that was inside him, but it healed an emotion of fear.
Right. Well,
so,
emotions, when we are ministered to in our emotions, it can have a very healing effect on our bodies. And so I know he needed that peaceful scenery to look at, and I know that ministered to him. That's just incredible. That's what I would call a God thing. You know, they have to praise
God,
God thing. It was a God thing.
It's
your connection with God.
True.
Well,
true.
Where are some of your artistic offerings hanging, Connie? I've viewed photographs of some of your work, and it's just incredible. I know they must be gracing the homes or businesses somewhere in our city or world. Where have some of your paintings found a permanent home?
Well, I went to print with a cotton field many years ago in the 80s, and that original is in a really nice home. It's the E.H. Crump Mansion, which has been restored by a couple, and they're great, great people. I'm giving those prints of that away. So that's one that years ago, I'm really glad that painting is hanging there. The paintings today that I have, I recently painted 8 very large trees. They're 48 by 60, which is 4 by 5 feet. And I'm very happy to say, yes, I'm very, very happy, unbelievably happy to say that they were donated to Methodist North. And Methodist North is on Covington Pike across from the Walmart on the third floor. And they line a long hallway going into ICU, and they have a scripture verse under them. And then 7 paintings of poppy and lavender fields are in the chapel area on the first floor. Wow. So those are recent donations. And then I have a lot of paintings, probably close to 30 or 40 paintings hanging in a wellness center. Mm-hmm. And it's called SHU, X-U, Wellness Center. And they're at 235 Germantown Bend Cove, mm-hmm. Straight off of Germantown Road near Lowe's. And other than that, my paintings really, those two places are have my paintings.
Well, and see, God has a very definite use for your work, and it is to minister to people who are hurting or who are sick, who are emotionally hurting or physically hurting. What a wonderful, wonderful way to use your art. That's definitely an assignment from God. I think what a privilege it is for you to have your paintings hanging there where people who are in pain emotionally or physically can be ministered to by those. You share scripture in some of your paintings. Would you describe some of those paintings that you've incorporated scripture into and what those scriptures mean to you as a woman and a child of God?
Yes. The scripture that I really love, one of them that I love the most is, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, and that's Philippians 4:13. I think that the strength that we have as human beings, we can't have the strength in our heart unless we do have Christ in many ways. And we mentioned the emotions of the lady that was depressed, the emotions of cancer. Our emotional being and our mental being has such a emphasis on our physical being. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's the motivation I have in painting now. Right. It truly is. And I've noticed it really in the last 2 years especially, is that I want my footprints. My possessions are possessions. You can go buy a new TV. You can buy this. You can buy that. But the paintings that come from my hands now, I truly want them to help other people. And in the emotions and in the ways in which mentally, if you think of fear, you're going to be fearful. And if I can paint a butterfly, a tree, a field of flowers or whatever, and someone loves it and it helps others. I have a theme of a butterfly that is in the branches of a tree. Mm-hmm. And the body of the butterfly is a woman. And the tree is stately and has roots. And the concept that I want to portray there is that every woman is beautiful. And she's beautiful through any type of change, which is the transformation, the butterfly. And talk about hidden. You really have to look to find that butterfly that's up in the limbs of those trees. And then the reason there is a tree is strong. Yeah. A tree has a timeless energy here. Mm-hmm. And Christ was wood. But with us and with a woman, the reason she is embodied in a tree is the root system. And that root system anchors her, and that's her faith. So she's beautiful, she can accept change, and she's rooted in faith. Those three items. And I painted a few of those, two or three, and I want to go to print, and I'm hoping somebody will tap me on the shoulder and say, I have an organization and we want to help women, and I will definitely 100% give. I would like to print them and help others. And but as far as scripture verses, definitely for the hospital. I've hidden crosses sometimes in a painting where you have to really look. I did that for one exhibition, and it was really wonderful. I'm almost speechless saying it, how people would walk up to the paintings and say, where is your cross? Is there a cross in this one? So I'm finding I like to hide things in a painting now. I think as an artist or a composer or a writer, we change. You know, we just change in time, and we do more things. And so my main thing now is giving.
Yes. Well, that's just an awesome thing, and that's probably, well, I'm sure it's why God keeps giving, because I think when the money element gets into the gifts, you know, so many people become frantically aware of the money element. And my thought on that has always been, freely we've received, and freely we should give whenever possible. I know that people are supposed to be able to make livings, you know, and we do that. But I know that sometimes, just like God has moved on you to give things, I think he loves that. I think he loves a generous heart, and I think he loves when those beautiful works are given, like the woman who was healed of depression, you know. And that was just a spur-of-the-moment thing with you, and you heard the nudge, you felt the nudge of God to do that, and look what it did for her. It released her pain and freed her up. So I'm sure that's why God keeps giving you more and more beauty to paint. And what a gift, and what a beautiful person you are. I've been so blessed to talk to you tonight. You're just a wonderful conversationalist and a very inspiring person, Connie. And I want our listeners to know how they can view your beautiful paintings and even purchase them. Where can we see your work and maybe even purchase some of your paintings, Connie?
You can give me a call. My number is 901-486-5712 to contact me. I have an email address. It's lmpcon@aol.com.
Mm-hmm.
I did mention there at the Methodist, they aren't for sale there, but at 235 Germantown Bend Cove, mm-hmm. and it's called the SHRU, XU, Wellness Center. And if you can't find that area or place, just give me a call at 486-5712. I do have a large inventory because I love to paint. And I truly mean it. Now, when people say, well, you can't just give and give and give, what I would do is say, okay, whatever you want to give me, that will be put back into buying canvas for someone else. But if there are people out there that just cannot afford anything and they're going through something, it would hurt my feelings, or I would be hurt more not helping. My main thing is I mean it. It is a ministry now. It is not important to be in shows for me. As I mentioned when we first started talking, I'm soon going to be 73.
Well,
so
you don't look 73. I've seen a photograph of you, and I can hardly believe that. God blessed you in that area, too, I'm telling you.
That's the light.
Yeah, that's the light.
That's the light. And I say, my paintbrush and I are very close. I enjoy painting, and the joy of painting, I want to share that with others.
Yes.
And I want those, and women that are hurting or women that are happy, it doesn't matter, or men.
Mm-hmm.
Or art is healing. It is very healing. And I used to say this years ago. I'd say, oh, when CNN is on, I hope I hand somebody a painting, and they're looking at watching CNN, and they glance over on the wall, and they see that painting, and their mind, emotions, and everything goes to a peaceful point.
Yes.
That's why I paint. That's why.
That's the gift God's given you, and you're using it the way he wants you to, and that's why those paintings are so amazing. And you are amazing. You are a precious lady. You really are, Connie. We've come to the close of another wonderful program tonight with an incredible guest. It's so evident that God has an anointing on Connie to display the wonders of his creations in her paintings. Not only has he gifted her with the ability to paint, he's gifted her with the ability to feel what he feels and to see what he sees, and then to be able to splash all of that beauty onto a canvas so that others can be blessed and even healed. Thank you, Connie, for being on our program tonight. You truly are someone who reflects God's gifts. Be sure and join me next week when I'll be talking with another inspiring guest who reflects God's gifts. Till then, may God keep us in his tender care. Good night, Connie, and good night,
dear. Thank you.
Thank you.